In your Bibles and go ahead and stand. We'll read our text this evening, Acts chapter 5. Beginning in verse 12. We'll read to verse 16. Acts 5, verse 12. The Bible says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick unto the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." Father, I pray your blessing, please, upon the message. We confess that we need to hear from you, so we pray for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. How many of you would admit tonight that you're forgetful? Anybody? Raise your hand. Oh, my goodness. That is a lot of people. Yes. How many of you have walked into a room to get something, and then when you got in there, you forgot why you walked into that room? Yeah. Okay. Every day. Have you ever showed up to church and then you're like, man, it's not even church day? That's pretty bad when that happens. One of the boys, I said this to them. I said, "Hey, listen, I want you to just go ahead and forget about that." And he sincerely said, "Forget about what?" "Never mind. You got it. Figured it out right away." In fact, I think with the boys, you just need, you know, if you want them to forget something, just wait a little bit. Actually, if you want them to forget, they probably won't forget. You know how it is with kids, right? You know, you don't want them to listen. That's when they're attuned. And when you're trying to get their attention to remember something, they're like, "I don't even know where I am right now." So the other day we were at Dick's and we were picking up some, at the sporting goods store, some backpacks for a hike that's coming up. And so we had picked out two backpacks that had the bladders in there for the water. And so we're standing there, and Grant has one of the backpacks. And I'm like, "Where's the other backpack?" You know, one of the kids had walked away. I thought he walked off with a backpack. And I'm standing in line. I got to pay for this stuff. And I look at Grant. I'm like, "Grant, where's the other backpack?" And he's holding the one backpack. He goes, "Are you talking about the one that's in your hand?" I look down. Yeah, that's the one. Whoa. Yeah. You know, we have a message that God has commissioned us to deliver to this world, and we cannot forget. We can't start living life and forget what's most important about what our responsibility is in this life. It's to get the gospel to the lost. I mean, this is the main thing. Have you ever heard "keep the main thing the main thing"? Well, you need to know what the main thing is if you're going to keep the main thing the main thing. And it's the gospel. The gospel's the main thing. We need to keep it number one. We need to make sure that we are delivering the message, that we are doing our part to make invitations, to have it in the recesses of our heart, yes, but having it on the tip of our tongue and on the tip of our fingers, willing to give the gospel at any notice, or at least to have a heart to want to see people to be saved. There's a burden that needs to be there. We have a message. We have a message in our hand, and God has called us to deliver that message, and we can't forget it like we're standing in line and forget that we're holding the thing that we're supposed to be that we're looking for. And that's the message. We have the message. We just can't forget that God has called us to deliver that message. Jesus had given the commission to the disciples, and their mission was to get the gospel to the lost. Now, the way that God was transitioning into the apostolic ministry was that he used the signs and the wonders. And the reason why God used that was the same reason that he used it in his ministry. The signs and the wonders of the ministry was used by God, listen, this is key, to confirm the message that the preachers were delivering. You might remember Jesus preaching one of the, in my opinion, the greatest sermon ever preached on this earth, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. At the end of that sermon, there were Jews, there were people on the scene who did not, it wasn't just that they disagreed with the message, they had never heard anything like this. In fact, that's what they said. No man has said things like this. And so the question that they would have had for Jesus is, do you have the authority to say these things? Because they knew thou shalt not kill. That was one of the Ten Commandments. But they had never heard that you shouldn't be angry with your brother because you've murdered him in your heart. So now we're taking one of the Ten Commandments, don't murder, and I would guess that there's not any murderers in here tonight. Okay? Or I hope not. But it might be that there are some who have had anger in your heart. Unjustified anger in your heart. And Jesus says that's as much of a sin as the act of murdering somebody because you've done it in your heart. The point is, Jesus, or rather, the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of God, is the ministry of the heart, not just our outward actions. Well, they had never heard this before, and they wondered, does anybody have the authority to say these things? That's Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Immediately in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus launches into his healing ministry. Why? To confirm the message that he has delivered. In Mark chapter 16, why don't you keep your finger here and look at this with me? This is so interesting. Mark chapter 16. Matthew, Mark. The second gospel. Look at verse number 20. The last verse of Mark chapter 16. Are you there? Say amen. Okay, look what Jesus, or look how God used the disciples' ministry. This is, by the way, transitioning into the ministry of the disciples. And they went forth and preached everywhere. So what was their mission? It was to preach the gospel. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. You can go back to Acts 5. So there it's plainly stated the purpose of the miraculous works, not only of Jesus, but of the disciples in the apostolic ministry, was to confirm the message. Why would the message need confirmation? For a couple of reasons. Number one, the scriptures weren't completed yet. So the things that you and I read in a historical account in our Word of God, it was actually in the process of happening. And so they didn't have the scriptures that they could open up and declare with authority. What they had was the message from God. It was in the process of happening. So what would be one of the things God would use to confirm the message? It would be the works, the signs and the wonders, the miraculous works of the disciples. But also, the work of the Holy Spirit was just getting underway. So the work of the Holy Spirit is in the heart of man. Let's not forget that. The work of the Holy Spirit is in the heart of man. And that's why we don't need the same kind of miraculous miracle wonders and signs today as we did in Bible times, because we have the completed Word of God, number one. So we don't need a sign or a wonder to bring confirmation to the words that are being said, because we are saying what God has already said, number one. Number two, the work of the Holy Spirit is underway in the world today. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost works in hearts. He confirms the message in you. There's not a need for a sign or a wonder today, because the Holy Spirit convicts your soul. He says to you, this is true. He says to you, you need this. So the disciples were doing the work of God. They were declaring the message of God. It wasn't a different message then than it is today. It was a transition time into the work of the Holy Spirit after Jesus was off the scene. But the message was the same. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no hope or there's no way for man to be saved without Jesus. So the disciples delivered this message, and the Bible says in the work of the ministry, there was unity in the church. And I want you to see that. Look at verse number 12. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. So we saw that. And then it says this, they were all with one accord. So the first part of the ministry that we are seeing that's unfolding as God's using the disciples, we see a corporate spirit that's inside the church. And what is that spirit? Well, he said it's one accord. What is that? Paul expands on this, actually in several different epistles. But in Philippians 2, you don't need to turn there, but you want to note it, you can look later. In Philippians 2, verse 2, Paul said this, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded." So if we want to know what it means to be of one accord, he's giving other descriptive words. He says, like-minded. He says, having the same love. Then he says, being of one accord, grouping that concept of being one accord into a more broad description. And then he says this, of one mind. So there was a sweet spirit of unity. There was a love. There was a like-mindedness. And the only way we can have that kind of unity, practically speaking, is through grace and patience. There's no other way. Look what it says in verse number 13. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them. So there is a group of people who are separating themselves away from the work of the ministry. So over here you have the church, the apostles, their ministry, and the people who were joining the ministry, the people who were joining the church to move forward to fulfill or to complete the mission of the church to get the gospel to the world. But then it's clearly indicated that there is a group of people who would not join themselves to the church. They separated. What was the word it used? It says, durst no man join himself. So there's a group of people who won't join. Now, likely it's on the heels of seeing what they just saw in verses 1 through 12. When Ananias and Sapphira, in their lie, died on the spot. And that would have been, that news of that episode would have traveled fast. And so there would have been people who would have said, I don't think this is something that I want to be a part of. And so perhaps because of that, they separated themselves to the side to say, I don't think that I can fit there. I don't think it's the right place for me. I don't think I'm going to join myself to that. And so here you have this description of a unity. Don't miss this. A unity in the church where you have a group of people who are like-minded and of one accord, in a sense, heading in the same direction with love and by implication, grace and patience. But with that, you have people who are staying away from it. They're not joining. And they, by choice, say, I don't want to be a part of that. And then God's working. The next two verses, we see God do incredible work of healing through the ministry of the apostles, again, confirming the message. But the work of the ministry is expanding. Look at verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. And there came, verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about to Jerusalem, and they're bringing sick and vexed and unclean spirits, and each and every one are healed. So we have the work that's moving forward, and God is using the disciples to do this great work, this healing ministry. And by the way, you read that phrase, and you might be concerned about that phrase, the shadow of Peter, and wonder, is this superstition? Is this the, you know, perhaps the people who are embracing a pagan mentality and sort of connecting that to the work of the gospel and thinking maybe this the shadow? But let's not think that God couldn't have worked this way. Remember, there was a woman who followed Jesus, and she just touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. How about the work of Jesus as he did his ministry, and the centurion came to him with humility and said, I have a servant who's very ill and needs to be healed. And Jesus didn't even go to him, and he was healed from a distance. So God can do a work in this way. I don't think we need to struggle so much with that. What we need to keep our focus on here is that God is working through the work of the apostles, and there was unity in the church. They were of one accord. And there were those, watch this, there were those who joined, and there were some who would not join. The point is to say that unity in our church, the unity of our church, directly affects the ministry of our church. Our ability to minister is directly affected by our unity. God worked through the healing ministry of the disciples, and it was clear that the church was with, or rather in one accord. But listen to this. The key to that unity was that there were people who did not join. Oh no, where's Pastor going with this? It's plainly stated. The church was of one accord, and one of the implications of the great ministry of the early church while they're in unity was clearly that there were some who did not join. We need to understand that not everyone who visits our church will fit. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that everyone who visits our church cannot fit, because anybody can fit. God is not willing that any should perish. But not everyone will want to be in one accord. Not everyone has a Not everyone is of the same spirit. Not everyone will agree. How about this? Not everyone will want to be a part of what we're doing. You know, I think sometimes it can be upsetting. Well, I don't think. I'm certain of it, because it upsets me. When we have visitors as many as we do, and we just do what we do. I mean, what do we do? We sing, and we fellowship, and then we open the Word of God, and we say what God said. And then we let God work in our hearts. And it's my hope that we leave this place encouraged, so that we might shine as a light in this world until we meet again. Amen. And we did that today, and we're going to do it again on Wednesday, and next Sunday, and next Wednesday, and until we are no longer here on this world, in this world. Amen. There will be some who visit, and they see what we do, and they might feel in their heart, or whatever it is that is in their mind about the ministry here, and decide that they don't really want to be a part of it. And it can upset us. But it might be, listen to this, it might be a protective, a way that God protects the church. It might be a way that God protects the unity of the church. Because we need to remember this. It's unity that is important. It's not growth at all costs. It's unity. Because God grows the church, not us. It's our job to preach and to deliver God's message with authority, but with purity. And the best way we do that is with unity. Our unity affects our ministry, and so we need unity. We don't necessarily need growth. How about this? Let's focus on unity and let God handle the growth. I'm pretty sure He can handle it. You know what I found is when there's a sweet spirit in a church, people actually just like being here. Oh, man, I like this church. I can't even really tell you why. Yeah. It could be that we're of one mind. Could be that we are gracious and patient of the same spirit. And by the way, these are keys to unity. Let me say that patience is a key to unity. So go ahead and say amen. Amen. Patience is a key to unity. Why is it that patience is a key? Because people are not always where they need to be. And that means we need to be patient. We need to let people have time. We need to give people time to let God work in their heart. It requires patience. Patience, listen, here's the meaning of patience. It's when someone is not easily provoked. That's patience. Patience is calm toward offenses. Like, where'd you get these definitions? Well, Webster, 1828. He's a little smarter than me on this stuff. He said, patience is not easily provoked. He says, patience is calm towards offenses. And he says, ooh, this one's my favorite. Patience is not revengeful. It's not revengeful. Well, I'll show them. That's not patience. I can't get it out of my mind. This is the imagery. When my kids were little and they'd have one of those little toys and they'd just be hitting me on the head with it. I'm like, oh, man. And you're the dad. What are you going to do to your little toddler who's, you know, playing and he's using your head to part of his toy, you know? You know, he's just bonking you on the head. What they need, they just need you to be patient with them. And that's what people need. And our patience is one of the keys to the unity that we'll feel in our church, is when we have a calmness and a kindness and a sweetness in us, a spirit that's not easily provoked, that we won't hold grudges. Just chew on that for a second. That we won't let things bother us so much that we just chew on it. And we can't get over it. And we can't get past it. It's just in us. I have to take a drink. I'm sorry. Every time I do that, then everybody out there is like, man, I wish I had some water. We need to learn how to be patient. If we're going to watch God do great things through the ministry of Western Hills Baptist Church, there's no way around this reality. We have to be of one mind, of one spirit, of one accord, in unity. And to have that, we must learn to be patient. We must. So that means some of us are going to need to learn how to let some things go. Well, you know, Pastor, they need this. And I'm really mad about it. Okay, let's let God do it. By the way, you just looked like a toddler when you did that, you know. Let it go. Let God. I shouldn't have said that. Now you're thinking about that stupid song. Just let God do it in them. Let God work in them. That's what we need to do. Be patient. The next thing we need for unity is grace. And by the way, these go hand in hand. Really, you can't do one without the other. Why do people need grace? Because we all mess up. Grace is when, listen, here's Webster helped me out with this too. He said, grace is when someone doesn't like, he didn't say that. This is me re-saying it in my words. Okay. So I took Webster and sort of put a tweak on it. Here we go. Grace is like when someone doesn't like somebody, but chooses to like them anyway. That's pretty good. Chooses to love them even though you don't want to. That's grace. unity is developed through patience and grace. He's like, well, is there a third thing that we can just not have to do those two and just do the third thing and then that works? Yeah, it's love, but you can't love without patience and grace. So you have to have all of it. Yeah. Paul said, let brotherly love continue. How many of you like football? Raise your hand. Okay, you can put your hands down. Some of y'all didn't watch the Cardinals game. That's why you raise your hand, because you don't like football if you watch that game. So I'm watching the Oklahoma game yesterday, and we played a team called Tulsa. It's a place in Oklahoma, Tulsa, okay? I'm going to spell it for you. Ready? T-U-L-S-A, Tulsa. Why did I spell that to you? Because the camera on while I'm watching the game did a pano of the stadium, and there were people who had big letters painted on their chest, right, spelling out the name of their team. And they got to one, and it was Tulsa, but the A was in the wrong place. And I think maybe they realized they were on TV, and A hurried up and got on the end, you know. Then you think that was good. Okay, it gets better. They panoed around the stadium, and there was a group of guys who had Tulsa written out on their chests, but they didn't have the S. It was just Tola. Tola. There were three exclamation points on the end. That means there were three guys that had an exclamation point on their chest, but they didn't have an S. The S wasn't there. So the commentator couldn't get past this. The fact that there was Tola and there's no S. And they were like, guys, we are college students. We should be able to figure this one out. And it was hilarious. I was dying. And they wouldn't let it go. And then they were like, you know what happened? They just built this whole story around Tola. They said, you know, S got mad at everybody. And he's back over by the cars at tailgate right now. And he's not invited to the group. S had to stay. S not allowed to come. It's Tola. S can't come. We don't like S anymore. It was so great. So why did I tell you that? I love that story, number one. But number two, we can't be that way as a church. Listen, each one of us has a role that God has called us to play in the work of the ministry. And we can't expect that we're going to be a church that's going to reach people if we're, you know, if we're Western Hills Baptist Church. Where's the S at? I don't know. We're just Western Hills Baptist Church. No. We all need to be a part of this. Well, I don't like S anymore. They're not allowed in the group. That's not unity. And people aren't going to want to visit Western Hills Baptist Church. They're going to want to come to Western Hills. So what do we need? We need unity. We're going to have to get over some things so we can move forward. One accord of one mind, of one spirit. God does not need our help in the ministry in the sense that the power of the Bible says that the rocks could cry out. But God chooses to use His people to get the gospel to the world. And He says this to us. If you want to be effective, if we want to be effective in getting the gospel to this world, then the one thing that we need to have, and God will do the rest, is unity. Not growth at all cost. There'll be times when people just don't want to be a part of it. And it's not that we try to turn people away or we don't want people to be apart. But what we need more than anything is unity and a closeness and of one mind and of one spirit. And with that love, full of grace and patience, because there's no other way, then what we'll watch is God do a mighty work through the ministry of Western Hills Baptist Church. Because we're not leaving anybody out. Let's let God do His work. Let's let God do His work. Our unity affects our ministry. That's our title tonight. Our unity affects our ministry. If you have an issue, the answer is patience. If you have an issue with somebody, the answer is grace. And you need to mark that on the table of your heart and give it to God. And let's move forward. Because if you're waiting for somebody to change or become perfect, you might be waiting for a long, long time. When we need to get busy now. Let's let God break us in that sense. Humble our hearts and give it to Him. Father, tonight we